It's time for the True Sports Card Show.
The only one-hour radio show that gives you the very latest in sports memorabilia news from around the world.
Here are your hosts, industry expert Imran Palladi and Sactown Sports 49ers insider Emil Fragoso.
Good morning, everybody. It's Imran Palladi along with Emil Fragoso here on the True Sports Card Show. Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. And I got to tell you, can I just start, Nate, behind the window? We've got a special guest today. We have Ryan from Sports Card Radio that's here with us. Also, just
who?
Just a quick thing. I hate that music in the morning. That's just, we got to change that. Nate, can you do something about that, please?
That's a Scott Marsh call.
Okay, Scott, I know you're...
We'll work.
I know Scott's listening right now for sure.
We
need to change that.
I have the uncut version of it. I need to make sure I get that in the board.
What's an uncut version of that
without
song?
Without the music. I have them just saying it'll be a conversation with after the show.
Perfect, because that whistly flute thing just ain't me. I mean, I'm from Stockton.
You slapping people.
Boop, 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 boop.
No.
Hey, we're here Saturday morning. If you want to chime in and say hello, feel free to call us at 916-339-1140. We'd love to hear from you. That's also a textable line too, 916-339-1140. If you're driving to Elk Grove to go to a birthday party like my friend CJ, you don't text and drive. Call us at 916-339-1140. And I wanted to share with you a couple things before we get started with our interview with Ryan. First of all, the Galleria, the mall, our store has officially started its transition. What a word to use in 2024.
We're
transitioning. We're identifying as True. that's what we're identifying as.
Careful now.
So American Visions Gallery is now converting into True Sports Cards. We started incorporating the wax and the unopened product. It's an exciting time there. If you ever go to the Roosevelt Gallery, come and check out our new store. It's our new store, not our replacement store. We have two of them. They happen to be a mile and a half down the street from each other, which is fun because now there's one in Rockland and one in Roosevelt. So you're going to see more memorabilia
right there on the limits.
And I've got a really, really exciting announcement. So last week I announced that we were going to have Malik Monk as part of our May Sacramento Autograph Expo.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, he's pretty good. And we have somebody who needs to play a little bit better, but we're excited about this. On March 30th at the mall at the True Sports Card location, we have Kevin Herter signing autographs on March 30th at 3 p.m. Now, tickets to get his autograph are $39, but here's the key. I told you that we have about 8 listeners to this radio show, right?
Mm-hmm.
8. So what I've done is I've put down an ambitious 50 tickets available.
Oh.
Completely free. All you have to do is go to the website and you go to truesportscards.com, look up Kevin Herter, that's spelled H-U-E-R-T-E-R, Kevin or mm-hmm. Herter or anything. You'll see the little ticket click. Click on that thing,
mm-hmm.
and it'll say it's $39. Go to the checkout. Enter the promo code, Sactown Sports. Sactown Sports, one word.
Any capitals, all lowercase?
I want upper, lower, up. It doesn't matter. I'm just kidding. It's just Sactown Sports.
Wait, let me stop you right there.
And it's free.
Free. No fine print. Free.
100%. I have 50 tickets available, Sactown Sports. So go to the website, truesportscards.com. Look up Kevin Herter or Herter or Kevin. You'll find the little clickable link. Hit that button and then enter in Sactown Sports. And that way I know that you listen to us on the radio. So I anticipate 8 people will at least take advantage of this since we have 8 people on the radio with us.
I would agree with that. I think more should take advantage of it.
Andrew Smith in the chat for YouTube says, I'm here for the Sactown Donut discussions.
Yes.
Shout out Marie's Donut on Freeport Boulevard. Marie's Donuts on Freeport Boulevard, you are now owing us for this great sponsorship availability that we've done.
Shout out them.
All right. So not only do we have the new location, we've got a bunch of products that have come out recently, but we'll talk about that later. Let's introduce our guest. He's the second time here on the radio with us. We have Ryan Tedders from Sports Card Radio, and it's Tedders with an S.
Tedders with an S, yes.
I just want to make sure.
Wow.
The way I said that, Tedders with the S at the end is what I meant to say. It's not like it started with S.
Uh-huh.
Like K as in knife.
There's
P as in pterodactyl.
Baloney makes no sense.
Yes. I don't even know why you said that. All right, Ryan, welcome back. Thanks for making the drive.
Me. Thanks for having me, guys. Good to be here.
Came all the way from Tracy to make this trip.
Wow. That's right.
Yeah,
it's a far trip.
That's a far trip.
It's a little bit of a drive.
So we're here. Your radio, sports card radio content is insanely popular for those that love not content, but drama.
That's right.
Or also drama.
Controversy.
Controversy. I wouldn't say that. Here's the thing about your channel. First of all, how do people find you if they find you interesting today? What's the best way?
Sportscardradio.com, sportscardradio on YouTube, sportscardradio on Instagram, Twitter, all those fun things.
How did you lock all that up? Really early
I'm older than, hopefully my good looks are shining through on the camera, but we're in our 40s, me and my brother, twin brother, in our 40s with this website. So the website itself is like 15 years old.
Wow.
So, you know, we've locked some of these social handles up. Early on.
GeoCities.
That's right.
Yeah, GeoCities.
That's how you do it.
Emil, you don't know what
Netscape.
We're talking. Before we were on air, we talked about like how we would sell cards. We used AOL news groups where you would actually say, hey, I've got this 1993 Sean Kemp SP die cut available. There's not a picture of it.
No picture.
Read it before Reddit.
And then you'd say, would you like to do this? Send me a money order to here.
Or cash.
Yep, or cash.
Wow.
And then I'm going to send you a self-addressed stamped envelope. And that's how we would send
stamps.
Stuff
Mm-hmm. Wow.
No tracking.
What's the tracking? I don't know. I put it in the mail yesterday. Hope it gets to you. Did you get a free ticket? Ail the MVP on the free ticket.
Boom.
Pete says SCR. Pete from our store. He's shouting you out, brother.
Oh, Pete, what's up?
Yeah, Pete. Pete, the best buyer in the history.
He's amazing.
Never met a better buyer.
Oh, my goodness. And you know what? He's listening to it at the shop right now. And he's basically going, yep, that's me.
He's a multitasker. He can do it all. It's Sacktown's Cards.
So, Ryan, let's talk a little bit about some of the things that you like to do for Sports Card Radio to make sure that people are informed. You are borderline journalism. I would say that you're journalism, but also unearthing a lot of drama that comes up. And I don't think that you do anything. Here's the thing about you. You don't lie. Everything there is just like, this is what it is. Yep. What do you think? And like people have egg on their face and you don't mind calling people out. We've talked a little bit about that on the previous show, but for those that are tuning in now, because back then we had 4 listeners, now we have 8. We've doubled our listening audience. Thank you very much.
Hey, yo.
So just kind of seeing what you guys look to do when you get on your streams or you're doing your posts. What is it that you're trying to accomplish? This is because you do a lot of editing. There's a lot of work involved.
Provide entertainment. I think that's the first and foremost. We're trying to provide entertainment. And if some, you know, if we're able to unearth some scams or some of the hobby news along the way, you know, more power to us, I guess. But we're really just trying to entertain. And so that's where, you know,
mission accomplished. It's funny.
We host about an hour, 2 hour live stream every Thursday at 5:30 p.m. on the YouTube channel. And then about one video a week that I'll sit down and make. And those videos are going to take me 4 or 5 hours probably to make. Yeah. Write a little script, record it, do all the editing. And the whole time I'm trying to make myself crack up or make myself laugh.
It works.
And so while sometimes we are discussing serious topics within the sports card world, we'll talk about, you know, some drama surrounding some cards today. But by and large, you know, we're really trying to entertain, make people laugh. And I think, you know, that has worked at least for a number of years.
The part that works the best for me is the jump cuts to.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. You're Biden. No. That is like one of my favorite ones.
You got to have that one in every video.
Oh, yeah.
You understand how to make content meme worthy. And that's important.
It's so funny.
You know what? You know how that all started? I'll insert little clips of whether it's Joe Biden, whether it's Jeff Wilson, whether it's, you know, people in the hobby, famous people in the hobby. I'll put little cuts within the video of them. It's really just to edit out my mistakes when I'm recording the video. So I'll record the video and I'll, you know, have a little script, but I'll mess up probably half a dozen times, yeah, right? God,
I was and just so, going to say, you messed up a
I
lot.
Almost just messed up right there.
You did. So,
yeah.
Nate, stick on the dump button here shortly. You almost used the
letter. We almost had to edit, right? Yeah. We almost had to edit that part out.
No.
We almost had to edit that part out. So, yeah.
I sweated so hard right now.
That's what those clips actually signify. When those clips come in, the Joe Biden, the Mojo Sports, the Jeff Wilsons, it's just to edit out mistakes and then maybe like a little slight transition. And a lot of times those clips that you'll see, they'll be like 0.2 seconds long. I think the shorter the clips you can play, the better, especially when you've already introduced and people know who Joe Biden is and they know what they're saying there. But
The other thing, too, is that you start your streams on 5:30 on Thursdays. Mm-hmm. They go about 2 hours. Mm-hmm. They end right before the Whatnot stream at True Sports Cards. If you follow today, we launch at 7:35 with Ant and Pete. What a perfect transition.
You took this full circle, baby.
Anything that could go back to me, I'm going to do. All right, so I know, Ryan, we have some stuff to talk about. We want to talk a little bit about some of the things that are happening in the hobby that are noteworthy that have happened over the last week or two. You guys recently covered some stuff. What's kind of going on in the hobby right now that is a hot topic that you're running into?
I mean, obviously you had the big SGC collectors merger, and then you have some of these big pulls coming out of nowhere. You have these group breakers out of China. I mean, it's not a huge story within the sports card world, but I've gotten a few kind of well-known names in the hobby kind of reaching out to me and, hey, have you seen these guys in China are pulling like hit after hit, like one of one, like backyard break style. If it was somebody, you know, more well-known in the breaking industry in the U.S. pulling these type of cards, I think it would get more attention. But, you know, once again, we're seeing certain group breakers pull these big, huge cards. And, I think that's very interesting. We have had some huge sets come out the last couple of weeks. We've had Prism Football. We've had Prism Basketball last month. You had Top Series 1 Baseball, which garners a lot of attention. You have baseball kind of on the cusp. So I think you've had, really since the start of the year, kind of an uptick in interest in sports cards, whether it's these big sets that are coming out, whether people are excited about sports or whatever the reason. You have seen, at least since the last time I've been, I was here, which was, a couple months ago.
Yeah.
I think we've actually seen, you can tell me better because you actually own a shop and you see this, but we've seen an uptick in the interest in sports cards. So I think that's been kind of the dominant story to start the year that, hey, people are interested in this stuff. Some prices for sports cards have ticked up, and people are excited about the hobby.
Yeah, I would say so as well. Just as a consumer, the ability and the collectability to go into a shop and see it be busting all the time. I mean, both Emron's shop at the mall as well as at the original OG shop. Where can they find that shop?
Just real quick, before I tell you, it's at 6661 Stanford Ranch Road there in Rockland. What does bussing mean?
Because booming?
Okay, because when Ryan and I were bussing, we were like standing on the corner, get on a bus, and we were bussing ourselves to school.
That's where the age gap, this is where I
bussing.
Come in.
Bussing, got it.
It's booming.
Let me write that down.
Bussing. Business is booming, bussing, the same thing.
Got it, okay. Yeah. B-U-S-S-I-N. Okay, got it. I wrote that down. Bussing, look at that up.
Learning new things here.
So I think too, Fanatics' commitment, Topps' commitment recently, I mean, I get texts all the time as a direct dealer from Topps, from Fanatics saying, hey, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to have buyback, the Ohtani and Acuna MVP buyback to give you credits that you can redeem. I redeemed almost $12,000 worth of buybacks that people used in credits for my store, and they paid within a week. Topps paid me back within a week. So they're very good about just generating that buzz and getting it going. Topps Hobby Rip Night, to where we have free product or low expensive product that we give away to the kids. Absolutely love it. We're finally getting an investment back into the industry from the manufacturer.
Yeah.
Have you had any conversations with anybody to see where that, because that's part of the boom, part of it coming back and people loving cards, is that we're getting the kids involved. When you and I started collecting back in the 70s and 80s, I mean, we were reliant on, do we go to the shop and hopefully we have the owner of the shop be nice to us, so we'll come back tomorrow. But I mean, they're investing heavily. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, it is something that we've seen over the last few years since Fanatics has come on board. We've seen the marketing kind of improve. We saw in December with the Tom Brady push with the Bowman draft stuff. Yeah. Something I want to ask you, though, as a shop owner, are you able to get enough product to meet the demand from Fanatics? On the Fanatics side of things, are you able to buy enough products from them?
No. And no at that price. Right. So nothing's going to come out cheaper than when it comes directly from Topps. There's no middleman distributor. I don't have to buy it from a third party or another card shop that may be overstocked. So the hope is that, and I'm going to unveil the curtain a little bit for the audience. We are based on allocation. So the more you buy, the more opportunity you have to buy more in the future of other products. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you don't get any allocation because you don't buy the high-end stuff. So you have to go on the secondary market to get it. To satisfy current demand, the answer is no. So we always have to go out and look for more. The key here is that Topps and Fanatics are trying to do their best to go direct to hobby shop and give more margins for them and more margins for us. So these distributors are really having to make some decisions on how they're going to maintain their business model, because that's how we, as card shops over the last 3 or 4 years, have been able to stock our inventory.
Yeah.
So, and then as somebody that sells yourself at shows or online, do you buy wax product? I don't know.
No, not anymore. I don't buy wax anymore. It's just gotten so pricey. Back in the day, I mean, I would play kind of the game where a product would come out and then the price would actually tank on these boxes. I mean, I remember buying plaster boxes for like $3 and then go flip them on Amazon for $15 to $20.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm playing this little arbitrage game. I mean, today these boxes are, you know, hundreds, if not thousands of dollars.
And when you say
each.
Back in the day, that was the 2010s. Wasn't like that long ago.
It really was not. Right. When I say back in the day, I pushed 2016 opening day baseball to be the number one product on Amazon because I pushed 60 cases on Amazon.
Wow.
Because I bought, DA Card World had them for $3 a blaster and they sold for $15 to $20 on Amazon.
That's
all day.
Crazy.
Like all day. Like, brrr, like every other minute I was shipping out.
Wow.
Well, I would send the entire box to Amazon and then Amazon would handle it like on the Prime side of things. So Amazon would handle all the shipping. I would literally just get a whole box of them, pick out all the ones that were damaged, send them all to Amazon, and they would relist them. And that was 60 cases. And actually, into like 2017, 2018, 2016 opening day was the number one baseball card product on Amazon because I pushed through so much like product. And then there were other sellers also selling.
You're like
on
the
it.
Guy that moved the line on the betting.
I kind of did.
So heavy that they moved the line. That's amazing.
But you can't do that anymore. The point is, like, no. I couldn't do that anymore. So I don't play that game anymore. It's more for guys like you who have shops, who have allocation, who have, you know, the business and the clientele to sell these, you know, more expensive products and stuff.
Yeah. And that's the part where it's tough for me to justify some of the products that are on the wall. I'd like to be diverse and have everything, but I like to have everything for the allotted time that it makes sense to have it for. Example. Spectra Football just came out. Emil,
yes.
Do you mind picking up some of the details of Spectra Football?
Yes, give me one second.
Here's what we know on Spectra every time Spectra comes out. There are four packs with four cards in each pack. Four hits are guaranteed in that. That's Mem or Mem Auto or Auto. We recently had that. What's it currently on the shelf at?
On your shelf?
Don't worry about my shelf. Just generally pricing your blowout. About $1,000 per box. So you're getting $250 a pack. Four packs total, four cards in each pack, 16 cards total. Mm-hmm. We're talking about some serious. I have one case and I've already sold through that, released yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I might do a couple more boxes. But it's very difficult to justify to your customer base, spend $1,000 here and potentially get 20% of your money back, maybe. So every 20 boxes, you'll get a 2x, 3x, 4x?
Yeah.
But negative 8x is not fun.
No.
Right? So when you're talking about that, Ryan, it's difficult. I'm a sweet spot mid-priced card shop because I like seeing hits come out of there for the value, or people that buy the box and say, that was a fun rip. I can still afford my rent.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
And so but there's a box for everybody. There's a store for everybody. We do have that product available, but I just don't keep restocking it because it's not fun to watch people rip. I love watching people rip. I just hate watching them get crushed. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit of like a blackjack dealer doesn't play blackjack.
Yeah. It's hard to sell.
Because they watch it all day long.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm kind of that
and
guy.
It's hard to sell high end when not all your clientele wants high end. They want low end, mid end. You know, you got to meet everybody's needs. And so not everyone wants to open the high end cases. So I get that.
Step back regarding content. So you have content that people really tune in for. Every video that you do does between 8,000 and 12,000 views within a few days. People would love to have that kind of audience. What do you find of what the crowd's salivating for, learning and hearing more about? I mean, they love the funny stuff. They love when you guys roast somebody. But what do they really ask you for? Because I'm sure people go, hey, Ryan, hey, Colin, talk about this. Because we get that.
Every day I'm getting emails about this scam, this happened to me on eBay, this listing got messed up, this happened on Whatnot to me, this seller did this to me. We really do have to kind of pick and choose what we do talk about because it is a large audience. We do have a lot of viewers, so I don't want to punch down to a small seller or somebody small or somebody who's trying to come up or even somebody younger.
Yeah.
Thank goodness cameras weren't around and we weren't doing the YouTube channel when I was in my 20s and how many mistakes I would have made. So there's a sweet spot of people that we can go after. There's probably a sweet spot of companies as well. Fanatics probably being one of them. Panini, the bigger companies, the grading companies. We might talk about the Web and Yama card that's off center. So
yeah.
We kind of...
Emran's laughing off camera.
And certainly, I think what we do, what we're willing to do, is we're willing to talk about the other influencers in the hobby. I think a lot of people shy away from that because they maybe want to be in that inner circle, they want to be in that clique, or they want to be a part of that, we call it the positivity group, mm-hmm. where we're certainly not afraid to talk about, frankly, anybody in the hobby, but even the kind of the upper level YouTube people who have probably 10 times the amount of subscribers we do. We'll comment on them. We'll comment on their videos. We'll comment on their sports card investments or the stores that they open and all kind of commentary. So we'll kind of sometimes maybe be willing to provide commentary on things that other channels won't.
If they're going to put themselves out there, you're saying
yes.
Fair game.
I think if they're a big name in the hobby, if somebody has 200 subscribers, I'm not going to roast them on our channel. I'm not going to, unless they do something really scummy or really scammy, or even if they're mm-hmm. even if they're talking crap to me. I just, at the point we're at in our life and where our channel's at, I'd rather punch up to the bigger companies, Fanatics, Panini, the grading companies, bigger card sellers, than some of the smaller people or younger people in the hobby, maybe even people who just got back into it and are learning.
Yeah.
Again, we have podcasts dating back to 2008 on our website. I bet you could go through those. And some of those, I mean, we're going to have clip-worthy cringe statements where we're talking yeah. about a player that we believe in and who totally flamed out. So
I had a couple of those that I laid my life on and just got killed. There's one of them. Yeah. J.P. Lossman. Not that that means anything to you guys. He was a quarterback for the Bills.
Right, first round pick.
Oh, my good.
I don't know who that is.
I was like.
I don't know that.
Even J.P. Lossman's mom doesn't collect his cards anymore. Yikes. I was like all in.
He had a nice autograph.
Yeah, very nice autograph.
Very nice autograph.
And I was just like, oh, man. Lossman was exactly the Lost, great description.
That's a great.
Yeah. And so for me, I just feel like, as you said, you're not going to roast the little guy that's doing that. Because they have the chance to build an audience, and you don't want to stunt that and stop them before they have a chance to really get their legs underneath them to do that. I am one of them.
However, trying to build if there's a big scandal, big scam, you have to call them out regardless of size. Like the Wembanyama out of 10 that happened, I believe, a week or so ago.
Sure. I don't even know what that is. What is it?
Someone, I believe a breaker pulled a Wembanyama out of 10 and did not sell it off, did not ship it off to the buyer. The person that had that spot did not get that card. They decided to keep it.
Confirmed 100%?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure that we're...
There was an... Now, here's the crazy thing about that story. Mm-hmm. Is the breaker accepted an IOU from the customer?
Yes.
So the payment didn't go through on Whatnot.
Ooh.
I don't know. There was some transaction mm-hmm. problem. And then I guess there was some messaging between the seller and the buyer. And they said, hey, take an IOU. I'll pay you tomorrow, whatever. Card gets pulled.
Yep.
Freaking to 10 Wembanyama. That's a $5,000 to $10,000 card or whatever or more. And then the breaker, I think, sends the guy $100 and says, hey, you know, this will take care of it, right? And then he keeps the card, takes the comments off his Instagram account and kind of goes. So, yeah, I had to cover that because I was like, yeah, that's an interesting situation. And I don't know what the rule is. Hey, if a breaker accepts an IOU and you pull a big card, mm-hmm. what's the rule
what's
there?
Protocol
you know,
there,
I don't know. I'm not going to judge that. But I think it is an interesting, you know, it's an interesting topic.
That's
to discuss.
A difficult place to be too as a breaker. I've broken very little, and we talked off air that I'm in the process of really looking heavily into breaking in 2024. Not me personally, but having our team do it. And I would say that that's a position to where you got to pay to play. Period. End of story. You can't take IOUs. It's a difficult place to be, and you know, I've done stuff on credit before. And I've gotten burned. I never win in the credit game. Let me just tell you, as a hobby shop dealer, I'll sit there and the guy's like, "Oh yeah, I'll run a tab." Okay, cool. It's never a win for me. Like, oh, I love putting people on tab. They definitely pay on time, exactly when they said they were going to.
Yep.
So now it's like credit card on file. I don't mind if you open your boxes and then pay at the end before you leave today. Mm-hmm. But you know, save the boxes, save the packs. But it's the whole like, I don't know you. We're afar. You live in New Jersey and I live in California and I'm going to do an IOU spot. Like that's the whole purpose of Whatnot is to avoid that kind of drama.
Yeah. Yes.
And if your payment isn't going through, then Red flag.
Red flag.
All right. So, So with that said, let's keep going. Now, recently we had the Wemby that was pulled by a local shop, NorCal Sports.
Cards.
I want to get it right.
NorCal Sports Cards.
NorCal Sports Cards. He's local. Tommy's the owner. He's been nice to and friendly to me and the shop. We appreciate him. He pulled the Victor Wembanyama one of one black
prism
card and got it graded. It kind of popped out of nowhere yesterday and just said on his Instagram, "Ta-da!
We did it!
We did it!" And I was like,
"Yeah." I was
first of all
so confused.
Yeah, I would have changed back its name to Victor Wembanyama Black One of One if I had pulled it. Okay, so there's no doubt nobody would have. Everybody,
I think
you
would have sold your soul for that one.
I would have been like, "Hey, ex girlfriend from high school, what's up? It's Emran. Do you remember me?" Anyways, Black Prism Wembanyama One of One. Yeah, Google that. Click.
Oh my!
So I would have told everybody.
Yeah,
I don't know how they kept it under wraps. I don't know the story. I don't know if it's for a customer, if they pulled it. I don't know the
story. The YouTube video is dropping today, yeah, explaining the whole thing,
which is cool. I mean, hey, shout out for local card shops to pull that,
yes,
and not the usual friends. The
breakers,
you know,
in
the
China
breakers,
right now.
Yeah,
the
breakers in China.
All the baguettes.
Beijing love.
Yes.
Beijing love.
Shout out Beijing love.
Yes.
We can edit out Beijing love. Okay, so.
I love their reactions. They're great. They're great. Because you don't know what they're saying, but they're so excited.
It's a lot like when I talk fast on the radio. It's just, what are your thoughts on when a big card is pulled? You've experienced this as somebody that's covered it. When a massive card is pulled or the case hit is pulled, the product hit is pulled.
Yes.
Do you see it tank? What ends up happening, Ryan?
I hear about that. I'm not involved with these breaks as much, and I'm not selling as much product as you, but I certainly hear about this. This is certainly a card that, you know, people are interested in. And then you hear about these bounties for the card. There's $1 million bounty for a Connor Bedard card out there. And you hear about these things. And I have to imagine, now it may not be massive, but I bet there is a slight drop in the price of these boxes. Mm. Because this Wembanyama was pulled. I mean, this is the top card in the product, probably a card that's worth, shockingly, close to $1 million.
Yeah, I was going to say it's close to a million.
It honestly is. I mean, it probably is well into the six figures, if not seven figure card. So when that does get pulled and it does take that off the table, I mean, it's like you're pulling slots at Vegas and the big jackpot comes off the table.
Right.
There might be a few people who decide, hey, I'm going to move over to Series 2 Upper Deck Hockey and start chasing the Bedard, right? So I think that you could see incrementally a little change in prices when these big cards, you know, do come off the table.
I was going to say that the Topps Chrome update still has the Anthony Volpe missing.
The patch.
Yeah, the MLB
debut. The Brady 12 of 50 still out there somewhere as well.
So these massive cards that have bounties on them, the Volpes, I think David Adams is still offering $500,000 for that one.
It's a lot of money.
For the Volpe.
Sold.
That's their guy, though. That's why.
Yeah, but still, $500,000. It runs into the Drew Jones one that they did in Bowman.
Yeah.
Bowman 22 or 23? 22.
Yeah,
where they had the Drew Jones, do you want $1 million for this card? He has to go. Well, the deal was $200,000 for the card now or $1 million, but he has to be.
The Hall of Fame.
He makes the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I'm like,
we'll take the 200.
I'll take the 200 right now, please.
Yeah,
thank you.
Let's just.
It's like when you win the lottery, do you want the lump sum or do you want to have it stretched out 30 years?
Yeah.
Grandpa Emran, how did you have this money that just came in? Well, I waited until Drew Jones made the Hall of Fame.
I can just
what's $1 million worth 30 years from now? Probably a lot.
A lot more.
It'll be worth $1 million. That's not worth inflation versions of it. You know your stocks better than I, Ryan. So
math is hard.
To it.
I feel like, you take the 200 and you could flip the 200 in Drew Jones' career if he plays 15 years.
You
could flip
the
200 into maybe a couple million in that time.
So we've got the Wemby. It's pulled. It's PSA 10. I'm definitely not going to badmouth the fact that they pulled the Wemby one of one. What I will say is that although I'm 46 years old, my eyes are pretty good.
Uh-oh.
Bro, that is off-center.
That is not. Yeah. Let's be honest here.
It is 60-40. Look, I'm looking right at it right now.
That is not even 60-40. That's 65-35 at best.
But, you know, shout out PSA 10. I mean, that. I'm not going to hate on the card, and I'm not going to hate on the people that pulled it. Congratulations.
Yes.
For real. That's amazing. I wish I had a 60-40 PSA 10. I don't know what the leeway is, but...
This gives me hope for my Alex Pereira out of 10, because that thing is not centered either. So, potentially, I could get a gem in 10.
There's some leeway. I mean, BGS 959s happen, and they're, you know. Anyways, I'll leave it at that. I'm proud that a local card shop pulled it, especially super local to Sacramento. So shout out to NorCal Sports Cards for pulling that.
Well, let me ask. And this isn't even about really the card. It's about grading in itself. Obviously, last week we talked about SGC and PSA combining. But in terms of how the grading has gone over the last year or so, do you feel like the leeway has gotten looser and looser on 60-40? Do you feel like the company's coming together is going to make that grading a little bit easier because of the product?
I have a second answer after Ryan answers.
Okay.
I don't grade enough cards to really know. I think it's all a roll of the dice. I think it's Russian roulette when these cards come in.
Okay.
Now on a Wemby card, you would think that they would be looking at this, and probably four or five people might look at this and give their opinion. So I don't know how a card off center.
Yes.
I mean, we've seen this with big cards before. There was the Steven Strasburg Superfractor that was off center, but at this time BGS graded at a 9.5. Mm-hmm. This is going back to like 2010. Mm-hmm. So these types of
that
things.
That was pulled locally. Shep brought that up. It was pulled locally.
That's right.
Yeah, it's pulled locally.
Boy, all the good cards over here.
All the cool cards get pulled in Sacramento.
We pulled the CJ Stroud 1/1 Nebula.
I pulled the Prayer out of 10 here. I'm telling you, like, I pulled some
big
cards.
Buy cards in Sacramento.
Buy cards in Sacramento.
True sports cards, guys.
Sacramento, only at True Sports.
Only at True Sports.
Yeah, unless you want to sponsor this show, and then we might shout out your show shop, too. I will say this, too. Pop reports matter. I think that companies look at pop reports. I think we've learned our lesson from the Zion Prisms. There are
the base.
You guys have done a lot of research with that stuff, where you were talking about the bases, the Luka base prisms, the Zion base prisms. I mean, send it for grading. Let's roll. I think there's like 20,000 pop of the Zion base prism PSA 10s.
I mean, it's base.
Doesn't matter.
There should be a lot of them.
But the point of it is that like 20,000 PSA 10 bases. Those cards were going for $400-$600 at one time. I think they're going for like $60 now. Maybe a little less.
Oh yeah.
And Zion's still playing well. It's just, I think it's over as far as the Zion hype.
The hope of Zion being the best player in the NBA is over.
I think it's over. But I mean, he didn't make the All-Star team this year.
Well, he cares more about fries than he does about buckets, but it's okay.
Chicken fries.
Okay.
all right. Let's talk a little bit about the market itself. You guys really track football, baseball, basketball, and kind of the index. You use Card Ladder Index. We try to get them on the show. We will eventually. Maybe I'll tell them that we'll get 9 or 10 listeners. They'll probably jump on after that.
Maybe 11, 12.
They'll be very impressed. What are you seeing on the market so far in 24? Is it holding steady? Is it
things have been good. Things have been good. I mean, 2021, I think, was peak pricing around February, March of 2021 was kind of the peak of the sports card market, like all time. And then since then, we were on kind of a steady decline, probably 20 to 40% or more in card values. Now, since the start of the year, you have seen, I mean, it hasn't been explosive in pricing, but you have seen kind of some incremental pricing actually go up. We were talking about, I think, the Jordan PSA 10 before we got on the air.
Yep.
That card has raised in value. So it's not as explosive as it was during COVID and 2020 and all this money and stimulus money and kind of new people kind of flooding into the market, buying things like Zion bases. But you are seeing interest in sports cards. We were at the Auburn Sports Card Show this past weekend. I mean, places packed. And you can see that
it was
all
raining. Tough to get in
you
there.
You couldn't find the parking.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And they still didn't care.
Packed. And you can see that play out all across the country at card shows, at card shops, where you're seeing interest in these cards. So I think the market actually surprises me. I would not have predicted this. I would not have bet on this.
Yeah.
That you're actually seeing kind of interest really at a sustained level for several months here to start the year. Whether that continues out through the end of the year, I think it's at least going to continue to the National in August in Cleveland. You're going to see interest in sports cards at least until then, and then maybe toward the back half of the year, you'll see things peter off a little bit.
And not just a steady influx of collectors, but a variety age group of just from young 5-year-olds to 65-year-olds. Yeah. Like, I'll be at Emron's shop on a Tuesday hanging out for an hour just, you know, looking at the inventory or whatnot, and will come some kids coming in from school in their nice clothes. And then, like 20 minutes later, some 70-year-old with a 1990 collection will come and trying to sell. Like the wide variety of people that are coming into the shop right now, that are coming in and collecting, is what makes me feel really positive about the growth of the hobby.
Yeah, Oh, for sure. I think we've kind of, in some sense, bottomed out since the highs of COVID, and we're kind of in this new space here where a lot of people have hung around, and we're probably, and probably the hobby is generating even new collectors and new buyers, whether it's the Fanatics marketing, whether it's sports in general, whether whatever it is, the gambling aspect of the hobby, you are seeing interest in cards pick up kind of since the start of the year. So that's got to be exciting.
I talked a little bit about this on a previous show, about how breaking can cause a lot of prices to go downwards. And the reason why I believe that, and my many years of watching cards go up and down, when a breaker takes a spot, when you buy into a break, let's just say it's $50 for a team, and you have the Bengals. I'm going to use an example. A friend of ours at the shop, Ian Pennington, who's my barber, loves doing Bengal breaks. We can get into them fairly cheap. He gets a Joey Burrow on a $50 spot. The card's worth, let's just say, values at $500. Ian doesn't do this because he's a PC collector, but other people might end up landing it, and they're like, let's put it on eBay. Mm-hmm. Okay? I get an offer for $300. The card's worth $5. Other comps show $5, but I'm only into this thing for $50. Sounds good to me. Click. Accept.
That's, yeah.
Now, all of a sudden, all the rest of us holding that specific card are now at the mercy of this random low,
this singular comp,
low comp, and that's where it's at. And I think that breaking has caused that to happen. But it's the only way for us to get into expensive product is to get into the breaks. So, where do you think the future of breaking is, Ryan? Where are we at with that? Is it just going to keep continuing? Because we've seen, I would probably say the last 6 months, breakers having trouble filling, and I've seen breakers getting out of the business, mm-hmm. but I don't see like real consistent, this is what we do for a living, breakers getting out. I just think these fringe guys are getting out. Are you seeing that?
I think you're right. I think the fringe guys mm-hmm. who probably didn't get allocation or struggled to get even product, boy, they're probably really struggling now. I think the bigger breakers who can fill breaks, who have done it for probably the better part of a decade, they're probably likely actually struggling to get product right now.
Yeah.
Whether it's on the Fanatic side of things because the distribution hasn't changed. You can't just call up Southern Hobby or GTS or one of these people and get product anymore. Panini's have probably tightened things up. Panini's probably charging way more for their product than they used to.
Interesting.
So it's got, you know, that's got to be crazy. But I think, yeah, the bigger breakers might be able to succeed because they've already scaled up to a degree where the smaller breaker, yeah, they're going to run into challenges. One, buying product, yeah. probably having the demand to fill it, and then doing that consistently day over day. I think breaking, you said, what's the future of breaking? People love to gamble. Yeah, we were talking about people, you know, you could put a $50 blaster box, and you could put like about the best card you could pull out of that blaster box for like 50, 60, 75 bucks next to each other. And people are going to pick the blaster for that one in 10,000 chance that they pull some serial number or something super rare out of it.
It happened yesterday.
It happened to me this week.
No, it happened yesterday at my shop. So a guy comes in. He's a great customer. His name is Jason. Came in and he's like, hey, I'm really interested in buying a box of Donruss. It was a mega box of Donruss basketball. Okay. And it's $55 on our shelf. I go, hey, just to let you know, I just had this card walk in. Do you want to buy it? It was a green Laser Wemby, non-numbered, but it's comps at 60. So I said, what do you want? Do you want to buy this Wemby for 60, or do you want to try to find this card here for 55 bucks? And he's like, okay, I'll buy the Wemby. So he buys the Wemby, and then I get busy, and I'm talking to other people, and Jason's still in the shop. I look down, and he's sitting at one of the tables, and he's opening the box of another box of the Donruss Mega. And I was like, these guys just
can't resist.
Man.
And he's a great customer. I'm not making fun of him, but it's just that's the way human condition is.
Yep.
They want that opportunity to try to pull it themselves because the guy that pulled the green Wemby that sold it to me probably had that endorphins.
Yep.
You know, he pulled it. He was so excited.
The highest of highs make up for the lowest of lows in breaking.
And every week we come here to this studio and I hear about Emil getting killed.
I got
on a
torched,
box.
Man.
Oh, man. The box. That's terrible. See you next week with the same story.
But then I come in one day and I got this and I'm like, hey.
And then
makes up for it.
And then 45 minutes of the show is about him and how he pulled that one card. So
I've also pulled a mess. Whatever.
Okay. I'm a poker player, right? I hear bad beat stories all the time. I never hear good beat stories. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like a 5-1. So once every 5 weeks, you're going to come into the studio and hear a really great Emil pulled this story. But the other four.
The other four, I got shamrocked.
Yeah, exactly.
It worked.
The other thing too that I want to talk about regarding the market was two other markets had some strength in them that are not part of the big three. And they've since merged to make TKO together. That's WWE and UFC. Now, you guys don't really spend a lot of time tracking it, but you do check the index. Do you say that wrestling was really strong? Because I love wrestling.
I love wrestling.
People say to me, oh, that's fake. Like, yeah, I know. So is Game of Thrones. There's not really a dragon that people are sitting on, right? Yeah. Like, yeah, I get it. But it's entertainment. When we go to the movies, I don't really think that, you know.
Right.
So the point of it is that it's enjoyable. Was it strong through the last 6 or 8 months for wrestling?
Wrestling was one of the strongest categories last year when everything was tanking 10 to 20%. Wrestling actually held firm, or some of those cards actually went up. We saw some huge, big Black Finite one of ones. Speaking of Black Finite one of ones, I mean, the Stone Cold and the Rock. Oh, I think the Rock was a six-figure card. So some of these, you know, rare cards out of Prism and Select were selling for big, big money. So wrestling has really held strong for the last several years.
One of Pete's closest friends, his name is Matt, Dope Cards on Instagram, Cards with a Z. Pete, if you could go into the YouTube chat and let me know what he sold. He sold one, I think, the Rock. He sold the John Cena. And if I'm not mistaken, it was a 9.5, and he sold it for $50,000?
What?
Something like that. I don't know. Pete'll tell me in the chat. I love wrestling, just to begin with. Yeah. I love it. I love ripping it. I love selling it. And I just wish that there was more of an audience for that. Stop buying the foam fingers and start buying some of these actual really great cards.
The product itself of wrestling is at all-time high. Right? I mean, Rock cutting promos, Rock being back with the Bloodline. The product is great right now. I think that's what's helping also the cards itself.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Pete says almost $40,000 is what he sold. Was that the Cena? It was a Cena BGS 9.5.
That's my guy. John's my guy.
That was incredible.
That's my guy.
And then UFC. Did you track any UFC?
UFC I'm less familiar with. Right. I don't think it did as well as wrestling last year. I know there's a kind of a core group of wrestling collectors and really hardcore group of people that create content around wrestling cards. UFC maybe not as much. Maybe they'll get a little bit more of a push here pretty soon, but that's an opportunity to buy.
There's a few, though. I know Steve Aoki is very big into collecting UFC cards and collecting the black one-of-ones and the big cards. He's a big fan of Sean O'Malley and all those guys, so I know that the celebrity aspect of it does help it, but I agree. I think wrestling has done better than UFC over the last
It's one of those things that really is rewarded for what have you done for me lately. Tonight is a big fight. Chito Vera versus Sean O'Malley.
Not even that, just the whole card, man.
The card is awesome.
Oh.
But, I mean, if Sean O'Malley wins, it's a significant bump. Like, you see it right away. Like, we had some Sugar Sean autograph stuff. Pete will let me know. And it was incredible. Like, overnight, when he won the championship, it was unbelievable. He won the title and then just shot up almost double overnight. And I don't think that we saw that with Mahomes. We didn't see that. We wouldn't have seen. Maybe we would have seen it with Purdy locally, but like the sport of UFC, it's instant.
It's the way you win, though. It's the way you win. Sean knocked out Aljamain Sterling, longtime bantamweight champion at 135, and knocked him out pretty clean. And Aljo's really first big loss, and Sean was able to be the next guy, and then became it, and that's a big deal.
And it drops quick too. Do you know who Paddy Pimblett is?
No,
he's Where is he from?
The UK. Liverpool.
Okay.
And this guy is a lefty. They thought he was the next Conor McGregor. He'd talk like it. Mm-hmm. They call him Paddy the Batty.
Yeah.
And he would get real fat in between fights. Like, he just... Mm-hmm. It was like Ricky Hatton, if you remember who that is. Eat their face off.
Oh, yeah.
Then get healthy for the fights. So he'd be this big fatty. And he was just popular. And then he still won, but he had really, like...
It was controversial.
Average showing. Mm-hmm.
And he did not beat Jared Gordon at all.
Nah. Yeah.
And they jump off?
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
And now he's like struggling, and people invested heavily into this guy. So that's the one thing about certain sports. When you're the only one that's there, that you don't have a team behind you, or you can't rely on your defense, like Peyton Manning did with the Broncos when he won the championship. Yeah. I mean, he wouldn't be a Super Bowl champion if he didn't
Individualistic sports make the cards extremely volatile. Especially like UFC wrestling, because they have highs and lows.
Which is wild, because UFC, we believe, is not predetermined, whereas wrestling is.
Yeah.
So you can kind of tell, I can collect Roman Reigns because this dude ain't going to lose in WrestleMania. I can collect this guy because I know this guy's going to win during this time.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you can kind of plan ahead with wrestling, but not really
UFC's
with other ones.
All over the place, because if Alex Pereira loses next month, it's going to be interesting for me.
It's over.
Finishing up, we're about 10 minutes away from it, and we like to run completely commercial free here at True Sports Cards Show on Sacktown Sports 1140. But recently, hobby hero Jeff Wilson, as you call him.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
He opened Cards HQ.
He did.
14,000 square feet of card shop, and he wants to be the world's local card shop. Now, I have my feelings about Jeff Wilson, and I could say it because it's my show, so I'll say whatever I want. He big-timed me at the National 3 years ago, okay? When he wasn't big-time yet.
Oh.
He apparently didn't know who I was. So, I'm nobody's soul.
It sounds like a good story.
I'm a guy with a radio show that has 8 people listening to it. Don't you know who I think I am?
Hey, you have a 3,700 square foot shop, don't you?
You better back. I have 2 shops, and if you add them both together, it's about 1/2 of Jeff's shop.
Oh, my God.
And he has 14,000 square feet. He's trying to fill a floor full of inventory. I will tell you, and both you and I, Ryan, you doing business differently than I. You do online. You do in person with the shows that you go to. Well, you're there for 3 hours before you dip
out. All you.
Yeah. So literally, Ryan sold me. Audience, let me tell you this. Ryan sold us the entire table, including the cases. He's like, yeah. I just want to walk out with the money. Right. Okay. So we took his case. Mm-hmm. And then we sold the case to a kid for nice. $25.
Oh, bang.
Got my money back.
Oh, my gosh.
So the point of it, no wonder you have new cases every show.
Somebody walked up to me and sold me a case for $40 at the show. And I was like, yeah, of course you could take the case because I just bought one myself.
Oh, my gosh.
It's really tough to acquire cards right now. Pete is sitting at the shop right now. They're at 6661 Stanford Ranch in Rockland. Pete and Ant are working right now, and they're begging people to come in to come and sell us some cards. We are desperate for inventory because we are a heavy single shop. You are a heavy singles buyer and seller. Mm-hmm. Where do you see this inventory shortage, let alone us, let alone you? What's a shop like Jeff Wilson going to be able to do with 14,000 square feet and trying to do online and in person?
I can only imagine that the challenges you guys have, because like you said, I go to these shows, get a couple $1,000, and then I go home and I'm on eBay, I'm on the online, I'm on these online auction places, and I'm literally trying to spend the money, and I can't.
Step back for a second. You're very successful with other ventures. Cards are not the only thing you do. So you do have revenue streams that cover your bills and cover your lifestyle. So this truly is a hobby, a profitable hobby for you.
Sure.
So you're not like, oh, my mortgage is due. I need to sell my cards. Right.
And actually, the best cards I'm actually holding are kind of just long-term holds for me. But I have money. I have probably about 10,000 cards on Check On My Cards. Probably have another, I don't know, 1,000, 2,000 cards at the Golden Vault, the PSA Vault. That I'm constantly trying to sell. And then when I get an influx of money, either you buy my whole case or something, and I'm trying to buy cards. I'm like, Pete, at your shop, I'm trying to buy cards, and I can't. You know, the math just doesn't work out. I'm getting outbid for everything.
Oh, shill bidding, man.
So I can only imagine for you how hard it is. How are you getting people into the door to fill up 7,000 square feet of card shop, let alone Jeff Wilson at 14,000?
Sure. I think what ends up happening is that we step back and we try to, when somebody opens a box, very rarely are they able to pull their personal collection type cards. So they have valuable cards, but they're like, I'm not emotionally attached to this. And I've learned personally, me, Emran, I'm not emotionally attached to anything. It's interesting. People go, what are you looking for? I go, anything that can make sense for my customers. Yeah. It doesn't matter to me. As long as the price is right, I can buy everything. And then they go, well, what do you collect? I'm all, look around. I own a card shop. I own every single card that's in here. What do I collect? I collect that card and that card and that card and that card.
They mean everything. Right? They didn't ask card the other night. Trust me.
Right. I own this all until I don't. And it's not a museum. I'm trying to sell this stuff. So if we could create it to where people can go back and get another box, another this, another that, that's what I think people should do. And I've been known as the Grim Reaper for multiple reasons. Number one, whenever I have an autograph signing with a really old guy, unfortunately, they pass away fairly soon after.
Someone knock on wood
somewhere. Yeah, yeah. So if you're old, don't do a signing with True Sports Cards. And number two,
it's not a good business model.
I don't even know where I'm going with it. I have to tell people that their card isn't worth what they paid for it during whatever time frame.
That's tough.
And what ends up happening, I had a conversation with a guy yesterday, really good guy. He sold us a lot of cards recently. And I know we're down in our last few minutes, but I want to make sure I share this story. He's like, well, I paid $600 for this card. I'm all, bro, the last four comps are $200. Well, I can't sell it for that. I said, it doesn't matter if you feel like you can't sell it to me and take the loss. The loss has already been accomplished. Yes. There's no way If it was $600 during the pandemic, unless the Ebola pandemic is coming, and we probably still wouldn't even react the same way that we did back then, it ain't happening again. There's no going to be an inflated version of this world. Just to let you know, if you're coming in, we look at real comps. We look at what sold today, and because that's how we generate the pricing. That's just the way of life and how it works.
Yeah.
As we close up today, Ryan, what's your thoughts on what the prospects are for the next quarter? Because we'll probably have you again in the next couple months at the latest. What are your thoughts on what people should be looking at? Not necessarily investment advice, but maybe just like where they should pay attention to, where they're spending their money.
I think cards are going to be strong. Through the national, which happens at the first week of August in Cleveland this year.
Yep.
Cards are going to be strong. So honestly, if you had some cards and you did want to take some profit, or you did want to go on vacation, or you did want to sell some cards, I actually don't think this is a bad time to sell some cards, to be perfectly honest. And then for me, I'm trying to work around the fringes, find some good deals. I mean, there's no more $3 blaster boxes or anything like that anymore. So I'm trying to just buy some single cards, flip some cards. But I honestly think if you do have some cards that you're not attached to, this is not the worst time to go into True Sports Cards and try to sell them, because the market is good.
Yes. Here we are, TrueSportsCards.com. Look up Kevin Herter. We're having a signing there at the Roosevelt Galleria at our location, March 30th. Use the code SACTOWNSPORTS to get your free autograph, unless you want to pay $39 and I'll take your money. For Emil, Ryan, myself, and Nate behind the window, it's a pleasure to have you every Saturday here with us on the True Sports Card Show here on SACTOWN Sports 1140. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next week, 10 a.m. on Saturday.
Bye.
Peace.